Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going deep on achieving uniform wall thickness in injection molding.
A very important topic.
Absolutely. And to help us out, we've got this great article titled, How Can You Ensure Uniform Wall Thickness in Your Injection Mold Design? It even includes a diagram so we can really visualize what we're talking about.
Visuals always help.
So imagine you're designing a new product. It's got to be durable, strong, look good. Getting that wall thickness right is what makes it all come together.
It really is the foundation, both for how the product functions and how it looks.
Right. It affects both the structural integrity and the aesthetic quality.
You got it.
Okay, so let's get into it. Imagine a plastic product that, on the outside, looks perfect.
Okay.
But on the inside, that wall thickness is all over the place.
Oh, that's trouble.
What kind of problems are we talking about here?
Well, first off, you're going to have weak spots.
Makes sense.
Those weak spots can make the product warp, crack, or even break completely. And then you have to worry about dimensional inconsistencies.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, those uneven thicknesses, they can totally mess up the look you were going for.
So it's not just about the product falling apart, it's about it looking right, too.
Exactly.
So how do we avoid all that? How do we actually get that nice uniform wall thickness?
All right, well, there are four main things you gotta nail. Gate design, runner system design, cooling system design, and mold cavity design.
Okay, so let's start with gate design. I'm picturing this as like the entry point for the molten plastic, like where it first flows into the mold.
Yeah, good analogy. And the gate's location, that makes a huge difference.
So where do you put it?
Well, let's say you've got a flat product. You'd want a center gate so the plastic spreads out evenly.
Kind of like a ripple effect.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's the type of gate.
Oh, right, like different shapes and sizes.
Exactly, like a needle point gate. Those create a really strong jet of molten plastic.
So what's that good for?
Perfect for making thin-walled products with a super high-quality finish.
Okay, so gate design is like setting the stage for everything else. You've got to get that right from the start.
Absolutely.
All right, so the plastic enters through the gate. Next up is the runner system, right?
That's right. It's like the network of channels that carry the plastic to different parts of the mold.
So it's like a highway system.
Perfect analogy. You want those lanes to be smooth, no traffic jams, so the plastic can flow freely.
Makes sense. A well-designed runner system means every part of the mold gets the same amount of plastic.
And that leads to uniform wall thickness. That's the goal.
Okay, we've got the plastic flowing smoothly. What comes next?
Cooling. Time to cool things down, literally. The plastic has to solidify, and how it cools plays a huge role.
Right, because uneven cooling can lead to warping and all those inconsistencies we're trying to avoid.
Exactly.
I'm imagining a cake that cools unevenly. Some parts will be sunken, some will be all puffed up.
That's a great analogy.
So how do you ensure everything cools down at the same rate?
Well, you can use different cooling techniques, like layered or localized intensive cooling.
So you're basically customizing the cooling process based on the product's design.
That's right. It's like giving each section of the mold its own special cooling treatment.
Very cool. Okay, we've covered the gate, the runner system, the cooling system.
Mm-hmm.
What's left on our checklist?
The mold cavity design itself. This is where things get really interesting.
Okay, so this is like the actual shape of the mold, right?
Yep. And you got to think about how the plastic is going to behave when it's in there.
Ah, right, because plastic shrinks as it cools.
Exactly. You got to factor that shrinkage into the design.
I like baking bread and leaving extra room in the pan for it to rise.
Exactly. And then there's the smoothness of the cavity surface.
Really? How does that come into play?
Well, any little bumps or imperfections can mess with the plastic flow.
Makes sense.
That's why they use high-precision CNC machining to get those surfaces perfectly smooth.
It's all about attention to detail, even at the microscopic level. So we've talked about the gate, the runner system, the cooling system, and the mold cavity itself. Seems like we've covered all the bases, right?
Almost. We can't forget about the star of the show, the plastic.
Of course. Different plastics have different properties.
Right. Some are stronger, some are more flexible, and they all shrink at different rates.
So how do you know what kind of plastic to use and how thick the walls need to be?
Well, there are some general guidelines. Like polyethylene, that's a flexible plastic, usually good with 1 to 2 millimeters thickness.
Okay, so it really depends on the material and the specific product you're making.
Exactly. ABS is another common one, good strength and impact resistance.
What about wall thickness for that?
Usually around 2 to 3 millimeters for ABS.
Gotcha. So what about something like nylon?
Nylon's known for its tensile strength. Often you can go a bit thinner around 1.5 to 2 millimeters.
Interesting. And what about polycarbonate?
Now, polycarbonate, that stuff's tough, high impact resistance, so you often need thicker walls, maybe 3 to 5 millimeters.
Wow, that's quite a range. It's fascinating how each material has its own sweet spot when it comes to wall thickness.
Absolutely.
But hold on a second. We've designed the perfect mold. We've chosen the perfect material. Are we done?
Not so fast. We can't forget about mold maintenance.
Oh, right, because even the best mold won't work well if it's not properly taken care of.
Exactly. Imagine this. You've got a perfectly designed runner system.
Okay, I'm picturing it. Smooth flow, no bottlenecks.
Perfect. But over time, those runners can get clogged with stuff, or they can get all rough and worn down.
It's like forgetting to clean your gutters. They eventually get clogged and the water can't flow right.
That's a great way to put it. And it's not just the runners. Cooling channels can get blocked, gate components can wear out, even tiny scratches on the cavity surface can cause problems.
So regular cleaning and inspection are super important.
Absolutely. It's all about being proactive and catching those issues before they turn into big headaches.
Makes sense. Now, before we wrap up, I gotta ask.
Yeah.
Have you ever used those simulation tools?
Oh, you mean to test designs before you actually make the mold?
Exactly. I bet that's incredibly helpful for catching potential problems early on.
It's a game changer. It's like you get to see a preview of the whole molding process.
That's amazing. So it's like having a crystal ball for your injection molding.
You could say that. And the best part, making changes virtually is way easier and cheaper than redoing a physical mold.
So it saves time and money. That's always a good thing.
Right. Plus, those simulations make the whole design process more accurate and efficient.
So far, we've covered so much ground. The importance of uniform wall thickness, gate design, runner systems, cooling, mold cavity design, material selection.
And mold maintenance. Don't forget about mold maintenance.
Right. It's truly impressive how all these pieces come together to create a successful injection molded product.
It's a symphony of engineering and design.
But before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I'm curious. Can you give us some real-world examples where achieving uniform wall thickness has been crucial?
Oh, absolutely. Think about Lego bricks, for example.
Lego bricks. Those little plastic wonders.
Those are the ones. Think about how important consistent wall thickness is for those things. They have to interlock perfectly and be strong enough to withstand years of play.
Now that you mention it, I can't imagine a flimsy Lego brick.
Exactly. If those walls were too thin, those bricks would snap in a second. And if they were too thick, they wouldn't fit together right.
So it's all about finding that perfect balance.
You got it. Another great example, smartphone cases.
Oh, yeah. A good smartphone case needs to be tough.
Right.
We all drop our phones sometimes.
Exactly. And those sleek, protective cases. That's uniform wall thickness at work. It lets them be thin and stylish while still protecting your phone.
So it's like a custom suit of armor for your phone.
That's a great way to put it. And just like a well-tailored suit, it blends form and function thanks to carefully controlling that wall thickness.
Lego bricks for durability, phone cases for protection and style. What other product categories are out there?
We'll get to those in part two. We'll explore how uniform wall thickness plays a role in everything from medical devices to your everyday household items.
I can't wait. Stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Last time, we were talking about how important uniform wall thickness is in injection molding. We saw it in action with Lego bricks and smartphone cases.
Right. And those are just the tip of the iceberg.
I bet there are tons more examples where this seemingly simple design element makes a huge difference.
Oh, absolutely. For instance, think about medical devices.
Okay. Like what?
Syringes.
Oh, syringes. Makes sense. They have to be super precise.
Exactly. Those syringes have to deliver the right amount of medication every time.
Right. You can't have any inconsistencies there.
Exactly. The barrel of the syringe, it needs to have a perfectly consistent internal diameter.
So the plunger moves smoothly and dispenses the exact right dose.
You got it. And it's not just about the syringe being strong, it's about those internal dimensions being spot on.
So even a tiny variation could mess things up.
Absolutely. And that level of precision all comes down to controlling the wall thickness during the molding process.
I can see that. Any little bumps or variations could cause the plunger to stick, or even worse, cause the fluid to leak.
Exactly. Not good. Especially for a medical device.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got Lego bricks for durability, phone cases for protection and style, and syringes for super high precision.
Right.
What other products can we think about?
Well, let's step away from medical devices for a second.
Okay.
Let's talk about something we use every day, like food storage containers.
Oh, yeah. Food storage containers. You definitely don't want those leaking.
Exactly. You need a good, solid container that can handle temperature changes, going in the dishwasher, you name it.
Right. And those containers, they get dropped sometimes, too.
All the time. And to prevent cracking and warping,
yeah,
you need consistent wall thickness.
That makes sense. But it's more than just preventing leaks, right?
Oh, definitely.
What else comes into play?
Well, you want to keep your food fresh, right?
Of course.
And that means a tight seal.
Makes sense. But how does that tie back to wall thickness?
Think about it. You need a perfect fit between the lid and the container to create that airtight seal.
Oh, right. It's like a puzzle piece.
Exactly. Any inconsistencies in the shape or dimensions, and that seal is compromised.
No more airtight container.
Exactly.
Okay, so far we've seen how uniform wall thickness is essential for strength, for precision, and even for creating a tight seal.
Right. It's pretty amazing.
It really is. What else is there?
Let's think about something that combines durability and style.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Sunglasses.
Sunglasses. Yeah, those take a beating, especially if you accidentally sit on them.
All the time. Plus, those lenses have to be precisely shaped.
Right, for good vision. But you also want your sunglasses to look cool.
Exactly. You don't want to wear something clunky and uneven.
Absolutely not. So where does wall thickness come in?
It's what allows for those sleek, lightweight frames with smooth curves.
So it's about achieving both fashion and function.
Exactly. Just like with the phone cases.
It's fascinating how this one principle pops up in so many different products.
It really is.
So we've got Lego bricks, phone cases, syringes, food storage containers, sunglasses.
And we're not done yet.
Oh, there's more.
Lots more. We'll dive into even more fascinating examples in part three.
Okay, I'm hooked. Stay tuned, everybody, to hear about how uniform wall thickness is essential in everything from medical devices to everyday household items. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everyone. So last time, we were talking about all the amazing things uniform wall thickness does for injection molding.
Right. But we also hinted that it's not always easy to achieve.
Yeah. There are always challenges in any design process. So what are we up against when we're aiming for that perfect wall thickness?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is just the nature of plastic itself.
What do you mean?
Well, you know how plastic shrinks as it cools?
Right.
That shrinkage? It can be a real pain, especially if you've got a part with a complicated shape. Or if the wall thickness varies a lot.
Ah.
So it's like our wonky cake analogy again. Even if you bake it evenly, it can still cool unevenly.
Exactly. And just like with a cake, you gotta know how the plastic's gonna behave and adjust your mold design accordingly.
So you're trying to predict and compensate for that shrinkage.
Right. But even with the best techniques, getting perfect uniformity, it's tough.
Okay, so the material itself is one challenge. What else can throw us off track?
The injection molding process itself can also introduce variations.
Really? How so?
Well, think about how the molten plastic is injected into the mold. The speed, the pressure.
Right.
All that affects how evenly the plastic fills the cavity.
So if you inject it too fast or with too much pressure,
you can get uneven packing. And guess what that leads to?
Variations in wall thickness.
Bingo. It's a bit like filling a water balloon.
Oh, I see. Too much force and you get a weird shape.
Exactly. You need just the right amount of pressure for a smooth, even result.
Okay, so we've got material shrinkage and the injection process to contend with. Anything else?
The design of the mold itself is super important, too.
Right. The mold is like the blueprint for the whole thing.
Exactly. If you have sharp corners, intricate details, or sudden changes in wall thickness,
those can be trouble spots.
Exactly. They can restrict the flow of plastic and create unevenness.
So the mold design has to be carefully considered to avoid those problem areas.
Absolutely. It's like designing a maze for the plastic to flow through. You want it to be a smooth journey.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So achieving uniform wall thickness really is a delicate balancing act. You've got the material properties, the injection process, and the mold design all working together.
It's like a three-legged stool. All the legs have to be the same length for it to stand up straight.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And we talked about simulation tools earlier, right?
Right. Those can be incredibly helpful for testing out different designs and making sure everything flows smoothly.
It's like getting a sneak peek before you actually create the physical mold.
Exactly. But even with all the best tools and techniques,
there are still limitations.
Unfortunately, yes. Some degree of variation is just unavoidable.
So it's not about achieving perfection.
It's about striving for it, but accepting that there will always be tiny imperfections.
Okay, so it's a continuous improvement process, always pushing for better and better consistency.
Exactly. And speaking of pushing boundaries, there are some really exciting things happening in the world of injection molding.
Oh, like what?
Well, for one, they're developing new materials with better properties.
So plastics that are less prone to shrinkage and warping.
You got it. They're also working on new process monitoring technologies.
What do those do?
They allow you to track and adjust the injection molding process in real time.
Wow, that's high tech.
It is. Okay. And then there's artificial intelligence and machine learning. They can analyze tons of data from the molding process and help optimize everything for even better consistency.
It's like having a virtual molding expert on your team.
Exactly. And with all these advancements, who knows what's possible? I think we'll see even more amazing applications of injection molding in the future.
I can't wait. This has been such a fascinating deep dive. We've covered so much, from the basics of uniform wall thickness to the cutting edge of technology.
It's been a pleasure talking about this with you. Hopefully our listeners have learned a thing or two about the amazing world of injection molding.
Absolutely. So next time you're holding a plastic product, take a moment to appreciate all the engineering and design that went into it.
And hey, maybe you'll even be inspired to create something yourself.
That's what we like to hear. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll be back soon with another exploration of something fascinating. Until then, keep learning and keep creating.